Clarify and extend. That's what y'all do up there in D.C. from time to time, right?
Well, I'm not sure if you call it clarify and extend. It's called revise and extend.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. I was giving you all the benefit of the doubt by saying clarify,
well,
but yeah.
Some folks have to clarify what they've said something they shouldn't. So.
I understand. Okay.
Well, it's like Obamacare. You know, they're having it to clarify what they mean by the equivalent of 2.3 billion jobs being lost. Is they, well, what we mean is everybody's going to have more free time.
Yeah,
that way
you
can enjoy your time in poverty.
And we'll I obviously want to talk about the debt ceiling in just a minute. But let's go back to the comments that the president made. And basically, he tweaked, if you will, the employer mandate so that the rules have changed a little bit for those people that are kind of right on the cusp of having to kick it in or not. Give me your thoughts on the revisions that the president made earlier this week.
Well, overall, I don't think it's going to... Well, let me say this. First of all, it's the 23rd time he has illegally tried to amend a law. And unfortunately, there's not a great deal we can do about it. I mean, I get people tell me all the time, you need to deal with that. We don't have standing to sue. So there's not a great deal that we can handle about that. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to make much difference in terms of the bad news that we're going to have in late summer. Because what's going to happen, the insurance companies, as a result of the what's happening on the individual health care insurance side through Obamacare, and then the changes to the policies that are being imposed on employers, we're going to have huge health insurance premium increases this summer. And those are going to start to roll out in sort of the August to October time frame. And so I think employers and employees are in for some really bad surprises this summer, unfortunately. And this tweak, so-called tweak, doesn't really change that very much.
So yesterday the vote was 221 to 201, and the debt limit has been basically removed. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think the technical term that's been used is suspended. That causes people a lot of angst. I would have liked to have seen us get something in exchange for a debt ceiling increase, but the issue we have is, I mean, everybody knows we've got divided government. And the everybody knows that Obamacare is the main news item these days. And Harry Reid, the majority leader in the Senate, and the president would like nothing more than to have the Republicans in the House change the channel so that they're not the ones that are being watched all the time. Unfortunately, on our side of the aisle in the House, we had a group of folks that wanted everything included in a debt ceiling increase. And that is exactly what would play in the hands of Harry Reid and the president. So the leadership of the House, whether people like it or not, had to essentially bite the bullet and work with the Democrats to raise the debt ceiling so that we as Republicans didn't set ourselves on fire in the middle of the street.
Bill Floor is joining us this morning. Let me read you some quotes. The Wall Street Journal, it's a tactical retreat by Republicans stymied by internal divisions. Politico says it's a clear sign of the House Republican Conference inability to move forward on fiscal fights and lay plans for a view of the future. And The Hill says Boehner's decision drew heavy criticism from conservative groups, many of whom said Boehner needs to be replaced. Your thoughts on those things?
Well, let me say this, and that is, how if we change it, let's assume for a minute that we in the House had been successful. And by the way, just so everybody's clear, I voted no.
All right.
To increase the debt ceiling. But let's assume, for instance, that we said we wanted Keystone and we wanted spending cuts and we wanted all these changes as part of the debt ceiling. Harry Reid would have just blocked it. And then you'd have a government shutdown and a credit default. And what would happen? You'd have a replay of what happened the first 16 days of October when Republicans lost huge amounts of credibility. And if it hadn't been for Obamacare, we would have lost the House next November, and we would have never gained the Senate, and the opportunities to regain the White House in 2016 would have been diminished. The only thing that bailed Republicans out following the restart of the government on October the 16th was the fact that Obamacare was so bad. And so for those of us that want a the sun, the moon, and the stars in a debt ceiling increase bill, we've got to be somewhat careful about how much we ask for so we go just the right amount but not too far. But unfortunately, we had about There are probably 20 or 30 in the Republican conference in the House that wanted the sun, the moon, and the stars, and that was just not feasible. So they put us in a position where the only alternative was for the leadership to work with the Democrats. And so we actually got nothing, which is exactly what we got in October when we decided to draw a line in the sand on the back there on defunding Obamacare. We got nothing except for a huge amount of public relations disaster. So we've got to be thoughtful up here about what you do so that you can affect policy to the maximum amount that you can, but don't go so far that you wind up killing yourselves where you lose control of the House. The House is the firewall. It's the last thing that we've got stopping the Obama agenda. If you want to put that risk, then you just ask for everything, and then you lose.
Well, all right, with that in mind, John Boehner did a about face on immigration. And has that been good for the party or bad for the party?
Well, in my view, it was bad, but he didn't have a choice. Here's the deal. There are some people, when you say immigration reform, they immediately think amnesty. And that's unfortunate because when you look at immigration reform, there are five or six elements to immigration reform. One is border security. Well, I'd like to see our border security improved. The second one is a visa tracking system so that when somebody comes into the country and overstays their visa, we've got two things. We've got a system to track it, and B, we've got laws that we say, hey, you've broken it so we can deport these people. We don't have either of those today. That's immigration reform. We've got hotels in College Station that can't get enough employees, even though they're paying $10 an hour, to get people to help cook in the kitchens and clean the rooms. And so since you don't have a local supply of American labor to do it, they'd like to bring people in on H-1B visas, but the visa system's broken. So I'd like to fix that. But unfortunately, because of the emotional attachment to the words immigration reform and amnesty, it was just impossible to get that done. And so if I'd have been in the speaker's shoes, I would have retreated too and try to figure out, okay, how do we disaggregate these things that we call immigration reform so that we can do the things that just absolutely need to be done and then move forward with, and then look at the other, the lightning rod issues like how to deal with the folks that are here illegally and how to deal with the Dreamers and do that at a time when the tensions have come down a little bit.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Okay, so you're not going to do that. Finally, kind of give us a brief overview of where you think you are going to go.
Well, if I were the Speaker of the House, here's what I would do. This is Bill Flores' 2014 agenda, and I'd break it into three pieces: an opportunity agenda, a security agenda, and a governing agenda. The governing agenda is sort of the blocking and tackling of what the federal government needs to do. You need to deal with the debt ceiling. Well, that's been done, and so that depending on what happens in the Senate, so that's been done through March of 2015. You got to pass a budget. Well, we've been good in the House at doing that ever since I have been in Congress. Then we have to pass appropriations bills so that you fund the government beginning October 1st of 2014. So those things are the blocking and tackling that you have to do. Then the security agenda is we need to reauthorize the Intelligence Act. And when we do that, we need to deal with the NSA and its overreach. We need to look at the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA as it's called, so that we can make sure our military has the tools they need to protect us. And then, also, there are security aspects related to the NSA and the CIA in that bill, and we need to deal with those as well. So that's the security part. Now, those things those are must-pass pieces of legislation. And so you have to. Those are ones where you're going to have to deal on a bipartisan basis and reach across the aisle and try to find some middle ground where you don't wind up disrupting the lives of Americans. The opportunity agenda is totally different. The opportunity agenda is where we plant our flag in the ground and say, we believe that this is what we need to do to create jobs and opportunity for all of America, whether you're in the low-income area or you're middle class. We want you to have the great jobs and great paychecks. And that includes things like our vision of what health care reform looks like. You ever give us the Senate, you ever give us the White House, this is what you'd have instead of Obamacare. We'd have tax reform. We'd have an all-the-above American energy solution to have energy security by 2020. You'd have regulatory reform so that we can get the heavy boot of government off of the decks of hardworking employers. You'd have budget reform. We passed our first piece of budget reform, two pieces of budget reform out of the budget committee yesterday. And then you'd have the security parts of immigration reform, border security, visa tracking, things like that. So that'd be what I would do this year. And I made a presentation yesterday at the Republican Study Committee, is that's what our vision ought to be. And I think we'll do some of that this year. Now, again, those will never pass the Senate, but at least when you're going to November elections, you can say, this is what we as conservatives stand for in the House of Representatives. You give us some help in the Senate, and we'll help push America closer to these objectives.
There we go. That's the Bill Flores plan as we see it. And like you say,
Flores' contract with America.
There you go. That's it. Bill Flores joins us almost every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning.
Great talk to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
Yes, sir. Thank you.